All right, Snack Attack crew, assemble. Feeling that mid-afternoon slump? Need a protein boost that doesn't involve boring protein bars? Well, let me introduce y'all to my new favorite obsession, Wonderful Pistachios. Y'all, these little green guys aren't just your average nut. They're protein powerhouses, packing a whopping 6 grams per ounce. That's over 10% of your daily value. And here's a confession. I used to be a cracker. You know, the kind of girl who enjoys the satisfying pop of opening each one. But let's be honest, sometimes convenience is king. And that's where their no-shell options comes in perfect for on-the-go snacking. Plus, they come in flavors like chili roasted and sea salt and vinegar, so there's something for everyone, even the picky gals. But here's the kicker. Wonderful Pistachios are a complete protein, meaning they have all 9 essential amino acids your body needs. So next time you're feeling sluggish, ditch the sugary treats and grab a handful of these green gems. I promise y'all they will keep you fueled and feeling your best, whether you're conquering carpool duties or crushing deadlines. And seriously, these are my go-to snack. I keep a bag in my purse. I keep one at the office. I even stash a few on the side of my bed for those late night cravings. This year, I want you to treat yourself to something delicious and good for you. So head over to wonderfulpistachios.com and explore their amazing flavors and sizes. Trust me, your taste buds and your body will thank you. This is Germany.
And this is Brittany.
And this is the Black Girl Bravado Podcast.
A motivating and encouraging podcast where we focus on building community amongst colorful women alike.
Join us weekly as we sit down and have candid conversations on various topics and issues surrounding self-care, self-love, mental health and wellness, spirituality, entrepreneurship, and much more.
And trust, when we don't have the answers, we'll call on our expert homegirls who do.
Our intention is to create a safe space for growth, inspiration, laughter, and love, free of judgment, in hopes that after you listen, you're a little more knowledgeable or at least a little more entertained than before.
It's homegirl vibes here. Real, raw, and a little funny.
A lot of fucking funny.
So thanks for tuning in to the Black Girl Bravado Podcast.
Let's start the show, cuties. Hey, y'all, welcome back.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going. Ew, I should have said, hey, y'all. Hey, boo boo babies. I can say it now. Hey, boo boo babies. Welcome back.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well. How are you?
Pretty good. Can't complain.
Good. How is your weekend going?
In the middle of it, but it's going. I feel with work, a little bit of fun, mainly work, but yeah.
Yes. We'll be having a little shoot later, so look out for the photos. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, we're slaying and doing what we need to do.
Hopefully. I hate photo shoots.
It'll be okay. We're going to do what needs to be done, and you guys will be liking the photos on Instagram. Follow us if you haven't already.
Yes.
So, what else is going on?
Nothing much for the weekend front. What is going on is we need you all to continue to rate and review, whether you listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube. You can subscribe there. The girls seem to not know that we have video.
Really?
A lot of newcomers.
Oh, yeah.
But we do have video. So if you're a YouTube mommy or you just want to see our faces, go on over to YouTube. That information is in the show notes. But this week, we're highlighting a review from Apple Podcasts. And this comes from DeAsia. She says, favorite podcast. I love the homegirl vibes here. Very entertaining, informative, and inspiring. Definitely my go-to podcast on my journey of growing and healing. We love being your go-to, DeAsia. Thank you for taking the time to leave.
Love you,
that
girl.
Beautiful review.
Yes. If you have already left your rating and review, if you're already watching on YouTube, then there's only one last thing for you to do. Join us over on Patreon. Patreon is our exclusive membership community where we are cultivating deeper connection with the homegirls. There is exclusive bonus content over there. We talk about things that we cannot talk about over here. So if that sounds like your type of party, here's your invite. Get on over there.
Yes. So our patrons this week, we have Lexi.
Hey, Lexi.
We have Chazelle.
Chazelle. Hey, girl.
Shannon.
Hey, Shannon.
And Tariana.
Hey, Tariana.
Welcome, you guys. We really appreciate you for contributing your coins to a beautiful cause.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Yes.
So last week's episode, it was juicy, a juicy one. We chatted about our erotic blueprint, honey, and sexual liberation, education, wellness with Rashida Ahmed. If you have not listened or don't know what the fuck I'm talking about, get on back to last week's episode and enrich yourself.
Yes. So this week we are keeping our Women's History Month content going, talking about all things empowered by beautiful women. So this week we have Navi Gill, who is an Ayurvedic practitioner, who shares with us the basics of Ayurveda, how to get started, if it's something you're interested in, the benefits, all the good things, if this is something that might, you know,
pique your interest. Yeah.
It's here.
This is a very in-depth, but it's just scratching the surface. So, again, we're just here to bring some tea to you. And if you want to go steep it longer, you know what to do.
Yes. We just intro. That's and you it. Do the rest.
You do the rest.
Okay. So, let's get right into it.
Bye.
Hey, y'all. So, today we're here talking about a topic that I've heard about, but if I have to be honest, I don't know that much about, but it's always been something that's piqued my interest because it's something holistic. It has to do with healing, two things that I love and that are very beneficial to us. Something kind of like on the opposite end of traditional Western medicine.
Yeah.
So we have a beautiful guest with us, Navi Gill. Of Navi Gill Wellness. She's an Ayurvedic practitioner and body worker, yoga teacher, holistic wellness educator, trained in ancient Ayurvedic body work, including Marma Chistika. Hope I said that right. Chikitsa therapy and foundational Panchakarma therapies.
Wow, Brittany, that was perfect.
Now, I might not know a lot about Ayurveda, but I know how to read.
Yeah. Yes, that is actually probably the first time that someone has said it, like, pretty much almost correctly.
Wow.
Usually it's all like they see the first part of the word and then make up the rest. And I'm like, yeah, sure. That's it.
Great job, Brittany.
Thank you.
Welcome to the show, Navi. Give our girls an intro to just who you are, what brought you here, and your journey.
Yeah, like how you got into Ayurveda.
Oh, that is always such a deep question for me. And it started probably lifetimes ago, but in this lifetime, I was about 23 and I was really, I was in my last semester of college and I was like, none of this shit actually matters to me, but I'm going to finish it. I'm going to get the piece of paper and then I'll figure it out afterwards. And I didn't really grow up necessarily with this knowledge like passed down or used in my family in the way that I now know it. It was kind of just like within our everyday, the way we might prepare our food, but no one actually knew that this came from Ayurveda or like, you know, the way that we would live in ancestral medicine. It was just a way of life for like my grandparents or my parents. So they never really shared it with us in that way. So I never knew what it was. And I was always like a curious kid and like I always wanted to be. Like in my mind, I was a little brown witch. So I was always doing something in my room, mixing up potions, doing something. And my parents were like, sure, as long as you're not doing drugs, like whatever, stay in your room, read, do whatever you gotta do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, and as I got older, that curiosity kind of like wasn't exercised as much. And then at that point, when I was 23, I lost my grandfather suddenly. And in our tradition, like you go back home to do the person's last rites. And I did that and, you know, it was really, really a deeply spiritual journey for me because there was so many elements at play. Like I think grief pushes you to a point where you are forced to really look at all the things that actually matter to you. And I felt like everything was stripped away and like anything that was external for me was, and I questioned it my whole life anyways. It was kind of like, I have to let it go because my grief is so big at this point in time. Nothing else has space to be here.
Mm.
Yeah. So I ended up, so my family's from Punjab, and typically like my parents only really stay there and they don't really travel around much to other parts of India. But for some reason, one of my aunts had decided, like, why don't all the girls that are here, let's take a trip down like south. And we were like, yeah, sure, we'll do it. And after like such a heavy time, like I think it was like everyone wanted a way to like escape and get away. And I love traveling. It's like my sole purpose for existing on this earth is to experience a world. So I ended up going down to South India and going to Kerala. And there is a lot of Ayurvedic medicine, and a traditional medicine lineage is really prominent in Kerala still. And I was standing in a spice farm there, where they grow all of the herbs and spices that you use in preparing traditional medicines that go out to like the rest of India or like outside of India for the panchakarma therapies and just like overall well-being. And I remember feeling like I was electrified. Wow. And I was like, everything in me was so alert, awake. I felt like, you know, this like immense connection to like the plants around me. And I was so curious. I was like running behind the person who was like giving us a tour to be like, what's this? How do you use this? What about this? And my family was just like, yeah, okay. Like for them, it was just like a tour. But for me, it was like suddenly everything that I had been seeking, I'm finding language to that thing.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
And there's someone there that's showing me this. And then, you know, that was that pivotal moment where everything changed for me. And I came back to Canada, Vancouver, where I live. And, you know, back then it was really hard to find a good training, an accessible training where I could still stay at home, because I was in a space where I wasn't ready to leave my family, you know, in that state of grief. So I found a training that was like a short intensive training, and it was from there on, the last like 11 years or so have been adding to my trainings, adding to my practice, embodying the knowledge of Ayurveda. And for me, it came, one was that I think it was destiny. You know, I look at it like that was a gift from my newest ancestor at that time, because if I didn't have something to pour my focus into, I think that grief would have overtaken me. And that was like his parting gift to me to go on this self-discovery journey. And from there, like I really went heavy into my spiritual path, and a lot of self-learning. And, you know, it's brought me to this point of building my practice for the last many years. And it's constantly changing and growing. But the biggest thing was the embodiment, because I needed it in order to heal myself. And that understanding of self is the basis. And I think the part of it being like my work or something that I earn from and make a living from or whatever, that's like way down the line for me. It's very much about embodiment, reclaiming this ancestral medicine, you know, healing myself so I could heal my family lineage, and then showing that a different way of life for brown women is possible.
Yeah.
Woo. What a journey.
It was deep. You did not lie. You did say it was deep. It was deep. Wow. We're so thankful that, you know, people like you are reclaiming this like ancestral medicine, because when we were considering talking about Ayurveda, there's so many whites who are mainly talking and teaching and preaching. And, you know, we're just so honored that you're here, that your journey led you here, and that you're just able to give the knowledge to people like us.
Yeah. Speaking of knowledge, can you let our listeners know what Ayurveda is?
Yes.
Just in case they don't know.
Absolutely. That is a great question. It's much more commonly known now, the word Ayurveda. So it is one of the oldest holistic medical systems in the world, which originated in India. It's practiced all over the world now, but it is on the basis of the five element theory. So similar to traditional Chinese medicine, there's a lot of overlap in Chinese medicine and Ayurveda in terms of how we look at dis-ease, how we look at health, how we look at well-being and our relationship to nature. It's very much about being in harmony with nature and the seasons and how things in nature have a very specific time period where things happen. You know, there's spring, which we're going into now, where things are starting to come back to life. They're defrosting. You know, the birds and the bees are getting activated. So all that energy also is in our body. And our body is essentially a microcosm of nature. So when we know our body and what our constitution is, so constitution meaning how much of the different elements live in our body, and that's different for every individual. That's determined based on our parents, it's determined at conception, so wherever those two people are, that is what then becomes our constitution, and that's the one that doesn't change. And then we have our current state, which is always changing. It changes in every moment, every season, every cycle, throughout the day. So how we look at how much of dis-ease we're in or lack of ease, essentially, is we compare the deviation between our unchanging state and where we are in this present moment. And it doesn't necessarily need to be a deviation that's negative. It can also be positive. Like, for example, we could have certain genetic hereditary ailments. And if we improve our lifestyle, that deviation can take us to a more positive state. Yeah. But for most of us, especially in the West, we have a deep lack of harmony, not only with ourselves within our own bodies, but our external environment and especially nature. So Ayurveda is a preventative medicine. That's the focus of it. It's really about how can we live an embodied life that is in harmony with nature, with ease, so that the quality of our life overall long term is healthy, we're joyful, we're able to play out our roles in society, in our families. And then in ancient times, it was really because in old age, people always went on a spiritual pilgrimage. Like, you've done all your worldly stuff, you've had your kids, your grandkids, you know, you've done your work, and now it's time to, like, most often people go towards God or spirituality, whatever that means for them. And there's many religions that exist within India, and a lot of us, it is typical to go on a spiritual pilgrimage, and they wanted to be healthy and strong at that point to make that pilgrimage, because they didn't have access to transportation like we do now. A lot of the times it was on foot or by some sort of animal that they were traveling. And you want to be in a state of being able to, you know, connect with the divine in a way that your body and your mind and your spirit is clear, it's healthy, it's strong, it's vibrant. And I love that so much, because, you know, it's such a, in a sense, like a unselfish thing to have, like a goal that you just want to meet the divine. So you're going to take care of this vessel.
Yeah.
So when you get to that point, like, the vessel is ready for all of that to be poured in.
Yes.
And, you know, Western medicine absolutely has its place. I'm not someone who's like holistic medicine only, natural herbs only. I think that it has its place. It's there for acute intervention. There's absolutely a need. And I think the way that we're headed, it's integrative medicine and integrative healing is the only way, because we need this ancient knowledge very much, and not just like allopathic or Western medicine and healing, because most of the stuff they talk about anyways is taken from all these other ancestral medicines and with whiteified scientific terms on top.
That's what they always do. So you briefly mentioned elements and how we're kind of comprised of all of these different elements. Those would essentially be the doshas, right?
Yes.
Or no?
So the five elements, no, you're on it. The five elements that we work with are fire, water, earth, air, and space. Mm-hmm. Traditional Chinese medicine has a few extra like wood and metal that we don't work with in Ayurveda. So there's three different combinations of these elements that make up the three doshas. So fire and water make up Pitta dosha. That's responsible for all the transformation and assimilation in our body. Air and space make up Vata dosha, which is responsible for all the movement and communication. So us talking, moving, blinking, breathing, all of that is function of Ayurveda, of Vata. And then Kapha is earth and water, and that makes up all our bodily fluids and all the structure in our body. So everybody has all three. We can't exist without them because they have a function that's very important in this body working. But we have them in different levels.
Yeah.
So you might be more dominant in one versus the other. And with that, we look at the mental, physical, emotional, spiritual constitution. And that determines how we show up in the world, what types of qualities we possess, what types of natural gifts and talents we possess, how we look in our physical body, how we communicate. Ayurveda really has broken everything down to a very precise understanding that's very specific to you, to me. And it can't be, one thing that I see happening a lot right now is this one size fits all wellness when it comes to herbs,
right,
products, remedies. And that's because we have so much access now because of social media and the internet. And Ayurveda is really not a one size fits all solution. It is very individualistic based on the person's constitution. And, you know, there's many things to be said about that, but that's just one thing that I've been really observing. And it's interesting to see the growth of it, especially since the pandemic. You know, when I started, no one had any clue what I was talking about when I was talking about Ayurveda, but they'd heard of yoga.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've all heard
now
of that.
Through yoga, like, you know, pranayama or breathing, meditation, Ayurveda, like all those things that are within the umbrella of Ayurveda have found mainstream access, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So with the different doshas, so I know you're a practitioner, but for those of us who are like just exploring and getting into Ayurveda and what it is, they have like all these quizzes that you can take. They ask you questions about your diet or like your body. Are you cold more frequently? Are you hot? What are your sleep patterns like? Things like that. And so we took a little quiz and it turns out that I'm like more dominant in Vata.
For your body.
For my body. And then my mind was Pitta. But as a practitioner, because I don't know how accurate that is. I mean, when I was reading it, I said, yes, this sounds like me. But as a practitioner, how would you assess like what someone's constitution is? Like, what is that process like?
That's a really good question. So those quizzes are good to give you a general overall understanding, because when you start to look at the questions, depending on which one you do and where the source is from, you immediately do know. You're like, oh yeah, I totally do that. Or I do that, and then sometimes I do that too.
Right.
You know?
I wanted to click again, both. I wanted to go,
yes. And you can, because a lot of us also have a very close, like almost dual doshic thing that we're dominant in. And you know, I think for all of us, three of us, we're probably dominant in Pitta and Vata.
I'm actually Kapha.
So, oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
We'll get into that.
Yeah.
Kapha is beautiful, beautiful medicine and so necessary right now. But those quizzes are good to give you a general overall, like, starting point. And traditionally, how an Ayurvedic doctor or Vaidya or practitioner would assess a person is like a three-step process. So darshana, which is, seeing the person, sparshana, and prashna. So touch, we touch the person to read their pulse, and that could take like all day in some cases, you know, where a doctor is going to look at it and then look at it at certain points of the day after you've eaten, after you've rested and compared. And then asking questions. So prashna is asking questions. And similar to the quiz, like we go through the person's entire history, because where you come from determines where you're at right now, essentially, like, you know, the environment that you grew up in, what are the other people around you like, what do you do for a living, what is your sleeping patterns, your eating, your digestion, your bowel movements, all of those things give us a clearer picture on what your constitution is. And you know, there's like so many other ways to do it. Like sometimes now I've seen practitioners use these little machines that you hold these metal rods, and it kind of picks up on your pulse instead of them having to read it and know it. But traditionally, it's a very spiritual science and art to be able to determine a person's constitution. It requires you as a vessel to be very clear, so you can understand and read and pick up on the person's energy, essentially, but also like look at very real, tangible things like the shape of their eyes, the shape of their nose, their mouth, their bone structure. You know, how does their skin feel to touch? Is it dry? Is it thin? Is it oily? Is it thick? Is it hot? All those things are connected to the elements. And the more you have a one certain elemental quality, then it's like, okay, this person is more dominant in this, you know.
So the quizzes have been colonized.
And you know, it's just so, when as you're explaining this, the level of detail and individualistic care that goes into each person is just really mind-blowing. Like, although we know that there is a place for Western medicine, usually when you go to those appointments, it's very like check pull, check heart, check knee, does it bounce back, you know. It's just so basic, and then it's like kind of one size fits all. So
yeah
this kind of care is just
the symptom. As opposed to Ayurveda, which looks to find the root cause, because a symptom is just a byproduct of the root cause trying to express itself and give you a signal that, hey, something this thing is overactive, underactive, you know, whatever it may be. And this is how I'm going to express it in order to either get rid of it or get your attention so you do something about it. And the cornerstone of doing that maintenance is our daily routine, our dinacharya, which, you know, I mean, this last 2 years, the pandemic has turned everything upside down, inside out, and we've had to really assess, like, what is a daily routine that actually makes sense? Yeah. You know, a lot of traditional Ayurveda, it's not going to fully make sense or be accessible for everybody, because we lived in joint households. It was multi-generational. So you always had support and help. Like, you weren't responsible all the time for like doing your laundry and cooking your food and going to school and going to work. Like,
there
was someone,
all the things we're doing now.
You had that support system there embedded in your family structure. So you have to create a daily routine here that works, but it's also decolonized, because our daily routine in the West is solely based around our work and our productivity and what we can do for capitalism.
And that's why we're sick.
Exactly. Would you mind explaining the doshas, like what they are, each individual one?
Yes, I will do my best to give a brief overview. So we'll start with Vata. Vata is air and space element, and it's again responsible for movement and communication. Vata is really also known as, I like to call it the queen, but you know, in older texts it'll always refer to it as like the king of all the other doshas, because of its ability to move things. It has the ability to move the other doshas to a different place. So really at the root of it, Vata is always the culprit, but it's expressing through moving the other to in a different place. And Vata is directly connected to our nervous system and our mind. So when Vata in the mind, meaning fear, nervousness, worry, anxiety, is increased, which I think everyone has a good idea of what that feels like now.
Yeah.
And as a collective, like it's going to impact the quality of thoughts you're going to have. Then those thoughts are going to affect your emotions, and then those emotions are going to create certain expressions and lifestyle habits and choices that you're making. So it's why that is such an important, mental health is such an important key to keep an eye on, because that determines, like, our brain and our gut, you know, is interconnected.
Yeah.
And those are the functions of Vata and Pitta. Like, Vata is, you know, helping everything in the body communicate, and Pitta is what you're taking in through the senses and in our gut. Through food, and both things impact each other. If your mind is clouded, you know, if you've ever noticed when you're under distress, like you lose your appetite,
yes.
Or you want to just pick up something that like sucks and is not good for you because your perception is clouded. But when we're in a good space, we're feeling happy, like a nice, beautiful, sunny summer day, you want to be eating something that's like light and
refresh,
and
yes,
good, juicy. And that's because your state of consciousness is heightened. And, you know, Western medicine is like talking about how like they just discovered that the mind and the gut
are connected. Oh, wow.
And this has been known for, you know,
thousands of
hundreds
years.
Hundreds and thousands of years, yeah. By, you know, many, many indigenous cultures. And we say, it's not that you are what you eat, you are what you digest. Because what you actually digest is what's going to get assimilated into your body and come out as like your nutrients or your ojas, your auric field, your immunity. And most of us have indigestion with food intolerances as well as experiences, emotions. We're not able to process and digest and take it in. So then we get, you know, anxiety, depression, disordered eating, just inability to cope with life in general. And then we just cover it up with more stuff rather than being like, there's too much air and space element because of irregularity, because of the environment that we're all collectively in and individually. There's a lot of fear, worry, anxiety, and lack of routine, lack of system that gives my brain some sort of order. So that is expressing itself now in this essentially chaotic, disordered way.
Yes.
You know, if we look at Vata and we think of air can be like a soft summer breeze, but it can also be a tornado.
Ooh,
or a hurricane.
Shit.
Yeah.
So that's
soft summer
like
breeze
thinking
me,
about
please.
A soft summer breeze me. That's like, you know, when I think of air and space, I always check myself. I'm like, where am I at? From like summer breeze to hurricane or tornado, like where's my Vata at?
Oh,
you know,
yes.
And just think about our state of mind in that moment. If everything's spinning around and you have like houses and animals and trees flying around, you're not going to be making the best decisions. But in a summer breeze, you're like, your shoulders are relaxed, your jaw's unclenched, you can sigh and breathe a little bit deeper. Your mind is calm and still, you know?
Wow. Yeah.
And that's why it's so important to know and understand not just the doshas, but the qualities of the elements.
Yes.
So we can talk about just the doshas forever. So I'm just going to give a brief, you know, intro to each. But the qualities of air and space, it's vast. It cannot be contained. It's rough. It's light. It's dry. It's quick changing. It's quick moving. So when we look at understanding something happening in our body, you look at like, well, are these things showing up? Like, you'll start to notice like when you're constipated, our poop is dried up, it comes up in little pellets.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So dry, airy, hard, rough. that means you got too much vata in the guts. Skin feeling dry, cracked, rough.
Yes. That was me last week. I said, wow, vata. It was giving vodka. Yes. I said, wow,
that's been me. That's been me for a while. And I, per the quiz, haven't been pulse checked and all that. But per the quiz, it's saying that I'm big vata energy. And it made sense because I'm always cold. And maybe you can speak to this, too. When you mentioned, like, our ability to digest our food properly. And, like, that has a lot to do with the types of food we're eating, the temperature of the food, and how food can just be sitting in our stomachs and we think we've digested it when it's just sitting there rotting because we're not eating the proper foods for our dosha or constitution. And I'm like, wow, I'm waking up drinking smoothies every morning and maybe I should be drinking a tea or, like, a warm beverage.
Warm milk.
Yeah, something.
A golden milk of sorts.
Something else, but I'm eating all these cold foods, if you know, especially first thing in the morning, fresh pressed juices. When you have a certain dosha, those aren't advantageous. Because
you're taking on the one size fits all of wellness and nutrition.
Exactly, like drink your smoothie.
Yeah.
Put your things in it. And it's not that.
This white girl on TikTok telling us to have like a smoothie with 32 ingredients. And like, yes, that will work for someone who has really strong digestive fire. So a really strong pitta person who has strong agni. So agni is our digestive fire. But if our agni is impaired, like, you know, imagine a candle, you know, that flame is your digestive fire. You wake up in the morning and you dump a heavy, thick, cold, icy smoothie on it. How do you think that that's going to digest? It's just going to turn the wax all hard and lumpy and congealed. And that's going to sit in your gut, you know? And if it's a campfire, maybe it'll have a little bit more sustenance to take on that heavy smoothie, you know? But like you said, if it's a warm tea, something like ginger tea or even room temperature water with a little bit of lemon or lime or ginger, that warming quality of the lemon, the ginger, it helps to start up that agni first thing because it's been dormant for however long you've been really sleeping. It's been kind of on simmer. And right away, if you wake up in the morning without giving it time to be activated and burning properly again, it's going to be at this low simmer this whole day, but you keep dumping food on top of it. So I think of like sometimes, you know, when you're trying to build a fire and like something's lit and then it goes out, but then you're putting new wood on top and it just gets all smoky and there's no fire. That's what's happening, essentially. So we really need to, this is why
Have you ever dreamed of effortlessly conversing in another language? Whether it's for that upcoming international trip, connecting with family and friends, diving deep into a new culture, or simply adding a new skill to your repertoire, learning a new language opens up a world of opportunities. But let's face it, traditional methods like textbooks and classroom learning can be a drag. That's where Rosetta Stone comes in. As the most trusted language learning program for over 30 years, Rosetta Stone offers a revolutionary approach that truly immerses you in the language you want to learn without relying on CDs or DVDs. Picture this, you're effortlessly conversing in Spanish on the streets of Barcelona, ordering tapas like a local, or discussing the latest French designers with Parisians. So sexy, right? With Rosetta Stone's intuitive process, you'll learn naturally, starting with words, then phrases, then full sentences. And with over 25 languages offered, including Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, and Polish, the possibilities are endless. Rosetta Stone's speech recognition technology, including the True Accent feature, acts like a personal trainer for your accent, providing instant feedback on your pronunciation. Plus, with both desktop and app options available, along with offline lesson downloads and an audio companion, learning for the babe on the go has never been easier. And here's the best part. For a limited time, Rosetta Stone is offering a lifetime membership for 50% off, y'all. That's right. Lifetime access to all 25 language courses for half the price. Don't miss out on this amazing deal. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, BGB listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. Hey, Bookies, we got something special for you. Are you ready to dive into a celebration of Blackness that's as diverse as the experience it represents? Well, NPR's got you covered with Black Stories, Black Truths. This is a groundbreaking collection that's more than just a podcast. It's revelation.
What does Black representation in media mean to you? Because to me, it's about breaking down stereotypes, challenging biases, and also showcasing the rich tapestry of Black experiences.
For sure, absolutely. And Black Stories, Black Truths is the epitome of this celebration. Each episode is a living account of what it truly means to be Black today, and it's told from a unique Black perspective.
And I feel like these aren't just stories, like they're narratives of joy, resilience, empowerment, and also the incredible ability to create world-shifting things out of the struggle.
Seriously, you'll hear about everything from pop culture icons like Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama, to discussions on vital topics like reparations, y'all. There's really no limit to the range of Black Stories, Black Truths.
Have you tuned in yet? One of my favorite episodes is the one on how real self-care takes real systemic change. That's a must listen.
Yeah, I really think the hosts bring a tone that's celebratory. It's also informative and reflective, which I really can appreciate. Every episode is a journey. It offers a range of emotions and perspectives that keeps you hooked from start to finish. As soon as I turn it on, I'm like,
And let's not forget, Black perspectives haven't always been at the forefront of America's story, but now they are the story.
Period. So this is not just a podcast, y'all. It's a collection of some of NPR's best episodes showcasing the brilliance and resilience of the Black experience.
And we know NPR is known for its commitment to diverse storytelling. But with them presenting Black Stories, Black Truths, I would say that this is NPR with the noir twist.
So what are you waiting for? Turn on NPR today and immerse yourself in a range of voices as varied, nuanced, and Black as the incredible country we reflect.
And remember, stories should never be about us without us. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, available wherever you get your podcast. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Have you ever wished for an extra hour in your day? What would you do with it? Maybe it's finding time for a run, a nap, or simply being there for a friend. But often, life feels like a race against the clock. What if you could carve out time for what truly matters to you? Therapy can be that guide, helping you prioritize what's important and make time for it. Whether it's setting boundaries, learning coping skills, or simply becoming the best version of yourself, therapy empowers you to take control of your life. When I've been called to therapy, it's been during times when I felt like I've needed to really center myself and regain control of my thoughts, feelings, and actions. And let me tell you, it has definitely helped. If you're considering therapy, consider BetterHelp. It's convenient, flexible, and entirely online. With just a brief questionnaire, you can be matched with a licensed therapist who fits your needs. Plus, you can switch therapists anytime at no extra cost. Take the first step towards a more fulfilling life with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/bravado today and get 10% off your first month. 10%, y'all. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/bravado.
Ancestral medicine from wherever you are is such a blessing to know and to learn and to have access to, because our bodies come from somewhere and they're connected to that land and that earth, and how everyone's ancestors ate was according to the seasons and according to what was on the land at that time. And that's whether it's been 50 generations or one, I truly think that like we're forever connected there and we adapt to these environments that we're in, but it doesn't mean that they're putting us in a state of thriving.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, we live and we exist and it's fine. But if I really want to thrive, like, I need to understand my body and what my body needs and not be listening outside of myself what a certain practitioner or doctor or person is telling me that this is good for everybody. Everybody should be having smoothies. Everybody should be exercising this much. Everybody, like, if you look at things like, I don't know about in LA or in the States, but like in Canada, we grew up with this thing in elementary school that we would be given like at the beginning of every year. And it was like the Canada food guide. Mm. And it would show you like all different food groups on there. And this is how much you should be having of like dairy, eggs, meat, mm-hmm. blah, blah, food pyramid.
Food pyramid. Was it giving food pyramid?
Yeah, okay. I guess ours was kind of like a sideways rainbow thing that I remember. And like, I remember being like, oh no, like my food's not even on here. We must not be healthy.
Yeah.
We must not be healthy because we're not eating what this stupid ass chart says, which is made by the dairy and the meat industry anyways, to tell you that this is what you need. And it's not meant for, you know, our bodies.
Right.
It's created for whiteness.
Right.
And we conform to that in so many different ways. And I personally have found, and I can only speak from my experience, when I'm whether physically in that home frequency of my roots, mm-hmm. whether I'm eating the food or whatever it is, I'm in a better state of well-being mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. And that may not be the case for everyone. I think it's, you know, it's our own individual journeys to build that relationship to where we come from, because it doesn't come without the heartache and it doesn't come without the grief for so many of us that have experienced, you know, intergenerational trauma, genocide, all of these things. But the root of it is like, our ancestors knew the land, nature, food, all of that was medicine. You know, before prescribing actual medicine that you would eat, they would tell you to go outside, sit outside, be with nature, walk for a few minutes to you know, reconnect and clear all of that energy that's not yours out of your body. The doshas.
With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom? Let me tell you about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom question you wish to ask. And then she can either type her response or record her voice, and MyLifeInABook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, and the challenges she's overcame. This book becomes a legacy and something you and your future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's giving you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. I'm so excited about MyLifeInABook.com because I'm planning on gifting my mom with this. She's always loved reflecting on memories and sharing her stories, and I know this will be the perfect gift to capture those moments for her. The thoughts of her flipping through the pages and reliving those cherished memories brings a smile to my face already. Check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code BRAVADO at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com. Use code BRAVADO for 10% off today. Ladies, let's talk real talk here. You probably have days when the PMS has you feeling like you could eat anything in sight. My goodness, the cravings and the general discomfort. Well, say goodbye to those days with Hormone Harmony from Happy Mammoth. Let's dive into why Hormone Harmony is not just another supplement, but a true game changer. First off, it's not just a trend, it's a phenomenon. Social media is buzzing with women singing praises about Hormone Harmony. In fact, a bottle flies off the shelves every 24 seconds. Can y'all believe that? Now let's talk about Happy Mammoth, the brilliant minds behind this wonderful product. They're all about making your life easier, and that means no compromises on quality. They've meticulously crafted Hormone Harmony using only science-backed ingredients proven to work wonders for women like us. But here's my favorite part. Hormone Harmony contains adaptogens, nature's little miracle workers. These herbal extracts help your body adapt to life stressors, especially those pesky hormonal changes that can throw us off balance. And here's the kicker. Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause. It's your secret weapon against those hormonal imbalances that can wreak havoc on your life. From hot flashes and night sweats to racing thoughts and low moods, Hormone Harmony has got your back. And yes, it even tackles the occasional bloat and that not tonight boo feeling. The real benefit here, the real win, feeling like yourself again. That's why countless women are raving about it in over 17,000 glowing reviews. We love a verified product, honey. Now here's your chance to experience the magic firsthand. For a limited time, you can get a fabulous 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code BRAVADO at checkout. So what are you waiting for, homegirl? Say hello to balanced hormones and goodbye to those days of feeling like a roller coaster. Your journey to hormone harmony starts now.
So the doshas have, there's the maha gunas also, which is one other thing that kind of determines like which phase that dosha is expressing itself. So there's sattva, which is our ideal balanced state of being. There's rajas, which is the energy of movement. And then there's tamas, which is the energy of inertia. Mm. So when vata is in a state of sattva, which means that it's balanced state, it's expressing itself as movement, as joy, as enthusiasm, as creativity, you know, any of the arts we look at, there's this fluidity to it that gives it movement, it gives it shape, it gives it energy and vibrancy. And when you see an artist that's either physically moving their bodies or creating art, and they're in that zone where they're living their purpose, it's bringing them joy, it shows up so beautifully in its own way in the world. And that is when vata is in a state of sattva. When there's a little bit more than you need, then it becomes rajas. So rajas is like a little bit chaotic. Like we need movement, but when that movement goes out of order, for example, when a single file line starts to become a mosh pit, things look differently. Yeah. Both have movement, but they're expressing itself differently, and that mosh pit gets out of control, and then people start to get anxious and fearful and worried. And that's what's happening inside our body when we get a little bit too much vata. Then we start to be forgetful, maybe. We start to be anxious. We don't finish our tasks. We pick up things really quickly and then drop them just as quickly. We might speak really fast. We might have breathlessness, be jittery. So things that are movement. You know, if you've ever seen someone who's like rushing around and you're around their energy, or they run in.
So
and they're not balanced. It's like, you're like, sit the fuck down. You know,
please.
Like, and you need to cover them with a blanket and some oil and just like put them to sleep. But typically vata people will continue to like run around, like almost in like this chaotic, frantic energy, and then increase it and increase and increase it until finally it's like they're going to drop. And when it's in its deepest, deepest state, like you have had vata imbalance for years, it's gone untreated, unnoticed, it goes into its really deep state, and it's embedded itself now into the deep tissues, and it's in a state of tamas, so that state of inertia. When dis-ease gets to that point, it's much more difficult to treat and reverse. This is like when we go into, you know, deep mental illness like schizophrenia, paranoia, depression expresses itself differently in vata, pitta, and kapha. So it requires much more diligent lifestyle, herbs, protocol to keep it in balance, you know, as if you were just in the beginning phases of like the Raja state, and you notice, you know, and unfortunately in the society that we live in, a lot of this excess or depletion is coming at such a quick rate.
Yeah.
You know, we're having to process and deal with so much more than ever before. We have so much more information that we're taking and trying to understand, a lot of it that maybe not even be about our particular life or our lifestyle, but it's there. So you're having to address it. And, you know, how many things, like the smoothie, how many things can you possibly digest at one time?
Yeah.
So that's a little bit about Vata. And then
that's a lot. It's so much.
It's so intricate. And I'm only telling you about the stuff like off the top of my head, you know. There's
wow.
It's getting
I'm already mind blown. Yeah. I'm already mind blown. Seriously, I'm like, how can I implement this shit into my life?
Well,
I'm like, where do I start?
So since Ayurveda is considered like preventative, like what are the ways that are suggested to maintain a balance? Like, is it the herbs? Is it the diet? Like, what are the suggestions that are made for a practitioner? Like, say somebody comes in, you do their assessment, it's like, okay, you're very Vata dominant. Then what would be the next step from there?
So because it's a holistic system of care, which there's not one thing that we say only do this and it's gonna be the cure. You know, it's, we look at mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual health. So basically your prescription would include something from all of those things. So one would be, you know, the times that you're waking up and you're sleeping and eating. That's a very important thing to note. And, you know, the doshas express themselves also in the times of the day.
Yes, I heard that.
And
read that, and seen that. That.
Twice a day, for example, you know, lunchtime's a really good example. Why is lunchtime kind of across the board really known as 12 or noon?
Yeah.
You know, in the Western world especially, because the sun at that point is at its highest peak, which means our inner sun, our digestive fire, our Agni, is also going to be at its highest.
Yeah.
So that means our biggest meal should ideally be at lunch, because our body has built up enough of that digestive fire
to break it down.
To break it down. Mm. And, you know, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., that's peak Pitta time. And then again, it expresses itself at 10 p.m. And 2 a.m. But it has a different function. This time it's not digesting and assimilating food, it's digesting and assimilating your experiences throughout the day, and it's healing the body. It's obviously also digesting your dinner as well, but more of its energy is put towards healing the body if we're in balance.
Right, which means you have to take your ass to sleep by 10 p.m., huh? So you can really be seriously, you have to be in the bed by 10 so you can have some great dreams.
That's me. I be asleep.
You have to be asleep during that time. Wow. Yeah. There, it's so intricate. It's so intricate, like you mentioned.
And it makes me feel like I be all over the place sometimes, because when I really think about it, which is a trait of Vata, seriously, that's why I'm like, relatability.
But you're a Pitta mind.
Pitta mind, but I'm talking about my body.
Oh, okay, okay.
So, it says that sometimes you eat at all different times of the day, or you might eat one meal a day, team me.
Or forget
to eat. It's like lunchtime, I never barely ever eat at 12. Sometimes I'm not eating breakfast until 11.
I'll say, did you already have your breakfast? And she's like, I'm just going to eat when I eat. I'm not thinking about a time. I'm like, girl, what? I'm such a scheduled person. I have my lemon water in the morning, well, my lime water in the morning, a smoothie, some sort of snack or breakfast, a lunch, a snack. Like, I'm a thin, thin, thin. And I'm like, hold on. It's 10. I haven't drinking my smoothie. I'm that kind
of
person.
And I'm the opposite of that. Like,
yeah, no.
It's different every day.
That's Pitta and Vata.
Yeah, it's different. And Vatas have a hard time, like, keeping on weight, which is my problem probably, because I'm eating sometimes I'm eating a lot, sometimes I'm eating none. It just really depends, because like the energy that you mentioned, sometimes it'd be all over the place. Like my mind, yeah. I have my mind on so many tasks, my hands in so many things that mm-hmm. I haven't carved out the time that I should to eat the meals. And it's what the fuck?
Yeah.
It's that irregularity.
Exactly.
Right? It's like a little bit more than a breeze. It's starting to get a little windy. I was kind of like disturbed. It's like the trees are starting to kind of hit right. other trees.
It's giving so windy ass day. Not tornado, but it's just a
it's
windy.
It's Chicago wind.
And you're like, food? Oh, yeah. Like, you know, it's one of the things that are flying around in the atmosphere around you. And that is a very beautiful example of how Vata expresses itself in our day. Mm-hmm. And just to know it, like as two people who are friends and have, you know, worked together, you have a relationship. It's so beautiful to know how each other functions. So, you know, when one of you are like, I need a schedule, and the other person's like, shit, I have to maintain that, like, then that increases their anxiety.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh no, oh no, oh no. And then it's like, for example, if they're late, they're probably like, you know, already stressed. And then they're thinking about the fact that, well, you have everything's on a schedule.
It's only like with my food.
Only with your food.
Because okay. I really like to eat. But you know what? With my body, probably, yeah, you're right. With my body, I'm equally kapha and pitta, both.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm a mix.
Yeah.
I am equally
that's,
both.
But that's a great mix, though. Like, there's so many different combinations. You know, you can be, this gets a little bit too detailed, but for example, you can be like, Vata and Pitta, or Vata and Kapha, or you know, just a pure Vata is like kind of, it's harder to find these days, because back in the day it was very much determined by, like, you know, people, certain people with certain hereditary and familial traits lived in certain regions for a really long time, so they were like adapted to that, and then they would, you know, procreate with the people of the same regions. So like it determined like more of like a, I don't want to say clearer, because that makes it seem like there's some like hierarchy, but like There was more like singular doshic constitutions at that time. But now over time, as we've adapted as human beings, and we're so globally interconnected with our food, with, you know, our partnerships, our everything, it has made more like mixed doshic constitutions.
Yeah,
you know?
Me.
Yeah.
Big mixed energy.
Everybody. We're all big mixed energy.
Oh, good.
Yeah, we're all mixed. It's just the different percentages of like what you have. Y'all should know by now that we love progression over here. Let's chat about what everyday progress truly means to us. Whether it's hitting those small milestones or treating ourselves to a little something-something after a month of disciplined budgeting, progress is all about balance and staying motivated. And speaking of budgeting and reaching financial goals while still enjoying life's little pleasures, have you heard about Chime? Chime's checking account offers some amazing features that can help you along your financial journey. Let me tell you about one feature that really stands out to me. Chime's Spot Me. We've all been there, right? Dealing with overdraft fees can really throw a wrench in your financial plans. But with Chime, you can overdraft up to $200 with no fees. You heard me right. No fees. It's like having a safety net for those unexpected moments. Y'all, I had a friend who was always getting hit with hefty overdraft fees. It was a mess trying to sort it out. How do you really get ahead with that? But with Chime, you can avoid those headaches and get back on track with ease. Plus, Chime isn't just a bank. It's a community. With Boost, you can increase your SpotMe limit by receiving boosts from your friends. It's like having your financial back covered by your squad. So, if you're ready to take control of your finances and wave goodbye to those pesky monthly fees, open your Chime account today. Just head over to chime.com/bravado. That's chime.com/bravado. Chime feels like progress. Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank, N.A. or Stride Bank, N.A. Members FDIC. Spot Me eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Boosts are available to eligible Chime members enrolled in Spot Me and are subject to monthly limits. Terms and conditions apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details.
So where would you recommend starting? If someone just wanted to get into this and figure out like a baseline for practicing Ayurvedic medicine or just like adapting this lifestyle, would you recommend like a book, a website? I mean, your resources, I'm sure you have, but like, where's the starting point? Because it's so much information. Brittany's drinking smoothies when she should probably be having soup. I mean, what the fuck?
Right.
You know?
My thing is, it depends on what your intention is, like with anything. So for me, it's really important to have a lineage-based teacher that has connection to India. That's important for me. So my first teacher, you know, was, bless her soul, a white woman who, you know, had spent a lot of time living, working, teaching with the lineage-based teachers from India. And, you know, she has deep reverence for the practice. And at that time, like, that is what my destiny was to start learning with her. And now, as I've spent 11 years, like, who I pick out as my teachers is very important for me to understand how they teach, how they share, what their intention is. Because now that it's so accessible online, I see schools popping up every day, and for me, 99.99% of those are completely don't resonate for me, because I have that sense of discernment of what I need and what works for me. But when you're starting out, it's very hard to determine that. So you need to look at, like, why am I learning? What is it important for me to receive from a teacher? And I would say one way that we decolonize in our actual everyday life when we're trying to learn any of these ancestral medicine is do that extra work to find the practitioners and the teachers that are from that place that medicine is from. Don't just go for the low-hanging fruit because it's there and it's easy, and it might look the way that you do or you want it to look, because a lot of the times these people and teachers who are have the most amazing, incredible depths of knowledge, they might not be on Instagram showing you the nicest, prettiest posts. Know what I mean? Like, some of them might not even be on social media.
Right.
So in order for these ancestral medicine practices to maintain their integrity, their richness, their depth, I think it's important to go to those teachers and do the work to seek them out and find them and support their work.
Yeah.
Support this knowledge being passed forward. And like, for me, I want the best of the best.
Period.
Whatever that means for me. So I'm gonna always do that, especially when it comes to my healing, my well-being, and this knowledge. So for me, one of my teachers is Dr. Vasant Lad, and the website is ayurveda.com. Easy to remember.
Simple. Yes. Straight to the point. He got it out
straight
first.
Straight to the point. He kind of was like one of the first Vaidyas to bring Ayurvedic knowledge from India to the West and really maintain that integrity and that connection to its roots. And he has this beautiful little book. It's like a little red covered book. I have it in my highlights somewhere. I'm going to pull up the name for you right now.
Yeah.
We love going to the source.
I seen this in your highlights. I said, I will be getting that book. I can't remember the name of it.
It's called The Science of Self-Healing, and it's like a practical guide. It's like little thin little book, but that book has like, just like, if you need a 101 and you want to start practicing, it's got everything in there. And that's like one of the best resources, I would say, to start. And then the other is actually spend time looking at your day and seeing where there are certain patterns that are triggering certain responses from your mind or your body or your spirit. And then start to look at like, oh, is that vata? Is that pitta? Is that kapha? And then build a daily routine. And that can be a little bit challenging for a lot of people, especially if you're someone who doesn't like routine, you're someone who doesn't like to be confined. I'm like that. I'm like, I get bored. I need different things all the time. My vata needs to constantly be stimulated in order for me to want to do something. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, oh, but I also want to live a long and healthy life and I don't want to die like this. So yeah. Let me learn to love a routine. Yeah. But, you know, going to a practitioner, finding practitioners that are in your area, that can help you create a Dinacharya plan. And there's tons of stuff available online. Like I said, you know, Dr. Ladd's website has a Dinacharya there that's general that you can start to follow. My thing is, like, do what you can,
yeah,
how often you can, however you can, and that's the best place to start. A lot of traditional practitioners will be like, it has to be like this, you know, when they're really purist about certain stuff. And I think at a certain point, I used to be like that too, because I wanted so badly to maintain like the traditional way and the integrity. And then I realized, like, I have to also make it work so that I'm doing something, mm-hmm, and it's not this all or nothing approach. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know, however it works for you is the right way for you. Yeah. And I can't tell you that. Anyone else can't tell you that. We can just suggest things, and you gotta do the work to make it work for yourself. That's the other thing, is a lot of people, because of Ayurveda being preventative, it's very deep acting, but it's slow acting. Mm-hmm. So it's like incremental. Everything we do every day, whether that's our practices or herbs or medicine or whatever it is, it's having a compound effect, but very slowly. And people in the West, everyone wants right away. I want to be ill, and in 30 minutes, I want relief.
Yeah. Instant gratification. Fix it now.
Right.
So that can be a deterrent for a lot of people to want to practice Ayurveda because of that. And I say, like I said, like, do what you can when you can, however you can. And that is going to be, that's going to make all that difference, you know, of not doing it at all.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
We're taking our time.
We are.
To get healthy or stay healthy. Rather.
Exactly. I think about the amount of years it takes to get to a state of this ease.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And we think it's going to be reversed
overnight
in a week or whatever.
And I like the idea of implementing things that are just a part of your daily routine. Mm-hmm. It makes it feel way more easeful. Like, once we get over the hump of it being new and like different from our traditional way of being. But it just makes it feel like, okay, you know, this is sustainable. Yeah. It's not something that I'm implementing that is like, oh my God, 911 emergency. I need to hurry up and do this, make all these drastic changes. And then I revert back to whatever I was doing before. I like the easeful trying like things incrementally, seeing how they work, and then making adjustments that way.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love the word you use. This is what I always say for my own self and things that I want to call into my life is sustainability. Mm-hmm. I have to be able to sustain and maintain it and hold on to it and build my life around it if it's actually going to be supportive. And, you know, some things are for short term, like even in Ayurveda, like when you do panchakarma, like cleansing, you're not doing it for 365 days. You're doing it for a certain period of time to do your maintenance and that's it. It would not be sustainable to do that all the time.
Right.
But in terms of your lifestyle, that needs to be sustainable. That needs to be foundation so that when other things that are unpredictable come, we have a strong foundation that's there and we have more ability to sustain the things that are coming at us because we built that foundation.
Yes.
Makes sense.
What I love about Ayurveda that I want to implement, where I feel like there's some space for it in my life, is like the individualistic approach to like wellness, figuring out really what will be good for a kapha pitta body. Mm-hmm. And like what maybe some ways that I've been operating just in this more westernized way of just like routine and trying to take the one size fits all approach and seeing what the difference is and how I feel and maybe just like overall like lifestyle changes. What particular lifestyle changes, if you can recall any, did you notice after like really tapping in with like Ayurveda and really getting to know like you know, I know you like grew up and didn't really have the like reasoning behind why you guys did everything. Mm-hmm. But when you really started being intentional, did you like mm-hmm. what lifestyle changes did you notice?
Oh, my God. I felt like I had power. Like this idea of knowledge is power. Like, I don't think there's anything more powerful than knowledge of self.
Is
I know how to treat myself. Mm-hmm. Like, if something is going on, I know immediately in my mind, here are the remedies that I can try. I'm not reliant on someone else or waiting for someone else to provide me with that, mm-hmm. you know, and as, you know, women and especially women of color, like that idea of, it's just changing our relationship to that idea of like, we always have to take care of ourselves. I know for me growing up, like that's something that's a sore point is like, oh, like I know ain't nobody got me like I got me.
Right.
But in a different way that's more intentional and also soft and also nurturing,
yeah.
rather than being like, I had to do it because I was surviving. It's like, no, if I was a garden, how am I going to cultivate that beautiful garden? If I need to have knowledge of the garden, of like the soil, of the water, of all the seeds I want to plant, and I need to know that about myself.
Yeah.
It's not just because I had to. It's I want to, so that I can grow myself into like the best version of myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that really starts with awareness. And for me, once I was aware of myself, it also made me feel less helpless.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the West, I feel like, you know, like look at shit like WebMD. It's like immediately I have a headache and I'm like, I'm dying.
That's yes.
it. I knew it. You know, like this is it. This was the one.
Yes, giving brain tumor. Yeah.
Like Ayurveda really gave me like, instead of all these 50,000 things that could be wrong with me, I just have too much vata, too little or of pitta and kapha. It's just one of those three or two of those three or three of those three.
Yeah.
Rather than it being 50 billion things, I'm like, oh, it's not me. It's my dosha. Like it's not, I'm connecting dis-ease directly to me. It's something that I did, you know, I'm wrong, I suck. It's like, oh, I just have too much vata right now, so I'm going to take a nap.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
You know, or I'm going to eat some food. I'm going to have something warm, like whatever it is. It gave me the feeling of being empowered and sovereign back, which I think is like the ultimate gift, the ultimate privilege to be able to call that back in this lifetime. Because I think of all the women before me that didn't get to have that opportunity
yeah.
to be sovereign in that way. And once you have that, like, why would you give that up? And that's one thing that Ayurveda really provided me, is that deeper understanding of self. And now I can actually improve and grow and change the way I'm showing up if I don't like it, instead of being in a state of helplessness.
Period.
I love that. The ability to have agency over our health and our well-being, because it does feel stripped away from us sometimes when we're relying on others to give us the answers. And even mm-hmm. even sometimes with Western medicine, like I've had ailments and I've gone to the doctor and we staring at each other like it's a staring contest. They don't right. know what the fuck going on. I don't know what the fuck going on. And I do have to do all this research, and then you come with them with maybe it's this.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, fuck that.
Yes. Like that's what you should already be working yes, on.
I
you
hate
should be
that.
Bringing that to me.
Exactly. But yeah. With something like Ayurveda, it seems like there's a little bit more guidance or information, resources to help you get to, like you said, the root of what's going on mm-hmm. and then addressing it that way, instead of working back from, oh my God, these symptoms are here, I don't know what's happening, da 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 da, in a frenzy. So I appreciate that aspect about Ayurveda and what it offers.
Yeah, that's like my favorite. Like if I can think back to, you know, when I started learning, it was so fascinating because it was like a remembrance. It wasn't like I was learning it for the first time. It was more like hearing it and having it affirmed, like, oh, nothing has ever made as much perfect sense as this does to me right now.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of how I knew that that was like my destined path of healing, at least up until now. And, you know, sometimes with Western medicine, like, they're treating you based on something in a textbook and not as a living, breathing, constantly evolving organism and being. And, you know, things change so quickly, and there's many factors. We need to look at the mental, physical, emotional, spiritual factors of dis-ease and of health and well-being. And depending on where a lot of doctors have done their training, what their own personal embodiment and belief system is, it really does factor into how they're providing care to their patients and their clients. And I hate going to the doctor. Like, I go when it's something that I can't do for myself. Like, I need a test, and then I need them to confirm something. And then I'm like, okay, I'll take if I need some acute medicine. Yes. And then I'm going to go back and, like, start working on that through herbs.
Yeah.
You know? But it has its place. Like I said, when we need it, we absolutely do need it. And you should, you know, go and ask your questions. It's that I think the entire medical system, just like everything else, needs to be
revamped. And it's so antiquated.
Women of color, like, women's health in general, it's horrendous. Like, I hear out of, like, 99 bad stories, maybe like half a good story of someone ever having a good experience going to see, like, a gynecologist or, like, you know, their family practitioner or whatever, because we're always gaslit when we are like, no, I'm telling you that this is happening and I'm in pain. And they're like, yeah, no, that's normal. Right. You know, being in pain and being in a state of dis-ease is so normalized in society that, like, they don't really look at it until it's at a certain point. And even if you're telling them, because if we're intuitive beings, you know, we know what's happening in our body, we maybe don't have the language for it. But then to go and have someone tell you there's nothing wrong with you, and then you run around in these loops for weeks, months, years, and then at some point, if you're lucky, maybe what you said originally gets affirmed, but by that time maybe it's too late.
Yeah.
You know, and now you have to do even more work to get to a state of health and well-being. So that's why Ayurveda and ancestral medicine, from wherever you are, it gives you the tools to have autonomy and sovereignty over your well-being.
And that's what we want. Yeah. That's what we're going after this year.
Yes. Well,
We know there's so much information.
We're going to have to do a part 2, 3, yes, 4 to cover all that there is to cover with Ayurveda. But I feel like you gave our listeners a great introduction to the concept and what it is, and, like, how to get started if it's something that you're interested in exploring. You are a wealth. You have a wealth of knowledge.
Yes.
So we really appreciate you and your practice and the work that you're doing for women of color. It's needed. It's necessary. So we appreciate you coming on and sharing with our listeners today. Can you let them know where they can find you if they want to learn more about this from you?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're in weird times, but I usually used to be very active on Instagram. So that's Navi Gill Wellness on Instagram, and my website, where you can, you know, fill out a contact form if you are interested in a consultation, or if you have questions, you know, NaviGillWellness.com, that's there. And thank you both. I love, you know, that you researched before our conversation, and, like, you know, we have this ability to share dialogue because you looked and found what the terms were, and, you know, you looked within yourself to see where that applies to your life. And that is how I know this world is changing, is that we all want better for ourselves, you know, and our loved ones. And if we take that little bit of time to look within ourselves and understand what we need, and then take the steps to make that happen for ourselves in whatever way, big or small, that is us building the societies and the communities and families we want. That is us decolonizing. That is us moving away from whiteness as soon as we choose ourselves.
Period. That was a great way to wrap it up, Navi. Great way. Thank you again for being here. We're so grateful. Our girls, I'm sure, are going to be connecting with you after hearing this. And you just sparked the light bulb in our brains to just get started on our Ayurvedic journeys.
Yes, thank you so much.
Yes.
Thank you. And next time I'm in LA, maybe anyone who wants to come for body work, we can do a
Yes, that is beautiful.
Sign us up.
It's coming. It's coming. So thank you again, girlfriends. We're going to catch you next week. Love you.